When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where do you see the wacky and the weird over the first 4 weeks? We've got a post up on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. And if you haven't seen the way that Jack Harbaugh started his son's press conference following the Ravens win on Sunday night. You can find that on our show account as well. Again, at Amy After Hours, or for me at A-Law Radio. Always good to connect with you over football. And I'm hoping that we can shoehorn in some Georgia, Alabama from Saturday night, because it was one heck of a game. It was electric. It was energetic, and it appeared to be a tied blowout until it wasn't, and Georgia has nearly a fourth quarter comeback for the ages. Man, what a finish. Get to know the name Ryan Williams. Oh, and his age, 17, because it's been repeated over and over again. But we have a lot to get to, because we've also got a Commanders team that is on top of the NFC East, back-to-back weeks scoring more than 40 points. How about that? A Buccaneers team that has seemingly found its stride, and the Eagles, who just keep turning the ball over. Between the Saints and the Falcons, a battle that went down to the final few seconds, and the Bengals finally get off the schneid and earn their first W of the year. But is it too late for that team in the AFC North? Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Glad to have you with us. Working our way through these games from week number four with a doubleheader to come on Monday night. But one big piece of news is that the Chiefs believe Rashee Rice has torn his ACL and could be out the rest of the year if that's confirmed on Monday with an MRI. Also, I know at least on one of our Survivor Islands, we're down to three people. Because my mom's husband had the Jets over the Broncos. The Jets did not score a touchdown. I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers said the weather sucked. I heard him on the way into work talking about how the weather sucked and he sucked and the game sucked. But they don't score a touchdown. They only managed three field goals. And the Broncos actually are able to go into MetLife Stadium and get a 10-9 victory. 10-9 victory. So we'll get to all of the games, and again, hopefully Georgia, Alabama, but if not tonight, we'll get to Georgia, Alabama on Monday night. So the baseball playoffs will begin this week, and I don't want to biff them all together. We won't do a ton of baseball until Monday night show, when we actually have the last two regular season games. But if you did not see, at least the American League is set. So coming up on Monday, we've got the doubleheader between the Mets and the Braves. If they split, both teams make the playoffs as wild cards. Remember, the Phillies have already locked up the NL East. If one team sweeps the other, and I don't know, I'm sure they know the scenarios, but I don't know how motivated either of these teams will be to go out there and throw their best pitcher or put their best lineup on the field if they've already won the first game. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, the Braves win the first one. Well, what motivation do they have to go out there and, say, empty their bullpen or put their best lineup? I mean, the fact is, they may, recognizing there could be a quick turnaround and a game on Tuesday, they may let more of the bench players get that time and give their starters a break so they don't play the doubleheader. Maybe they do a spot start and they don't use a starter, instead trying to look ahead to the wild card series. Well, if that's the case and the two teams split, then they both end up making the wild card rounds. If one of them sweeps, it's the Diamondbacks who get in. And gosh, the Diamondbacks were in the World Series last year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So here's what we know about Tuesday when the wild card rounds begin. You've got the, I almost said the Lions. It's a good time to be a Detroit sports fan. You've got the Tigers and the Royals, who both made it as AL wildcards. Congratulations to those two teams who had to fight through some major adversity. And remember, in mid-August, the Tigers were 10 games back in the AL Central. But they rally with a supreme final 6 weeks of the season. And so it's Tigers with A.J. Hinch. He suffered through some tough seasons. In fact, 2.5 really bad seasons. The Tigers at his former team, the Astros, who are riding a streak of 7 consecutive appearances in the American League Championship Series, though this is not a great team for them. And you've got the potential AL Cy Young Award winner in Tarek Skubal, who will start against Framber Valdez in that opener. So that's the first game of that AL wildcard series on Tuesday. It's a 2:30 Eastern time start, so 2:30 Detroit start, but a 1:30 in the afternoon Houston start. And I know Astros fans get so ticked about the fact that they get the early afternoon games. I hear it from fans in Houston all the time. Second game on Tuesday is the Royals against the Orioles. So both those teams make it as wild cards. And that will be a 4:00 start at Camden Yards, 1:00 on the West Coaster, 3:00 Kansas City time. Corbin Burnes will take the ball for the Orioles against Cole Reagans of the Royals. And then you've got the two wild card series in the National League, but we don't know who the opponents will be, right? So it's Milwaukee and San Diego hosting, and those are the later games on Tuesday, but we don't know who they will be facing yet. And by the way, the schedule is the same for Wednesday. So if you're making your plans, it's those same 4 series all right in a row, same start times. No, I take it back. Slightly adjusted start times. For some reason, I don't know why, the Brewers will host game 2 of their wildcard series a couple hours later than the opener. It's a lot of detail, not important. All you need to know right now is that it's Houston, Baltimore, Milwaukee, San Diego as the hosts, and they will be in order in the quadruple header the same way on Wednesday. I hope that makes sense. Obviously, you can use your smartphone and look it up the schedule for yourself, but I wanted to make it easy for you. But we'll wait for Monday to find out who those last two teams are. Now, that puts us in a situation where we've got a couple of byes, of course. The series are 3 games, theoretically. Though, at this point, we don't know if we'll need any game 3s. Last year, no game 3s needed in the wild card round. And then coming up on Saturday, October 5th. How is that? How is that possible? We're in our final few hours of September. So wrapping up this Sunday night, Monday is September 30th, and that's it. Coming up on Saturday, October 5th, you've got the first game, the first games of the divisional series. And it'll be the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Guardians who are hosting. So those are your 4 teams that are having that get the byes and don't have to play in the wild card rounds. Those are your top records in Major League Baseball in 2024. Phillies, Dodgers, Yankees, Guardians. But that's not till Saturday. So they actually have a week off, which is nice if you're trying to put your pitching rotation in order or you've got guys who need a blow, need a breather after a long season. So that's what we know about the Major League Baseball schedule. Playoffs start this week. What? Meanwhile, the NFL marching through its first month. So where's the wacky and weird from this first 4 weeks of the NFL season? I'll tell you what was wacky and weird on Sunday. We had four different muffed punts, as well as a couple of fumbles on kickoff returns. So for some reason, special teams was needing some special treatment on Sunday. And that's exactly how the Texans started their opening drive at the Jaguars. Oh no, I take it back. Against the Jaguars. The game was in Houston. There's a lot of details in my brain. There goes the perfect show. Just kidding. It wasn't perfect last hour. So yes, after its opening drive, Houston muffs the punt. And it's recovered by Jacksonville for instant red zone. Trevor Lawrence goes to Brian Thomas, the rookie, for the touchdown just 4 seconds later. And that's exactly what the Jaguars needed. They needed a big start. Maybe to give themselves some confidence, but also to try to quiet that crowd at NRG Stadium. So within a handful of seconds, you've got them capitalizing on the turnover by the Texans. 7 points off turnovers. But Houston responds with a pair of extended drives in that first half. 70 yards, 74 yards. And they really do settle into their offense, which is exactly what the home team needed.
Need a good one here. Third down and two at the Jacksonville 6. Stroud in the gun. Brooks winged right. Akers in the backfield with CJ. And now Diggs joins them. Handoff, Diggs running right. He wants to throw. Now he cuts back. Diggs across the 5 into the end zone. Stephon Diggs, touchdown, Houston. Here we go, third and goal at the 3, empty backfield after motion. 3 receivers wide side right. CJ in the gun. On third and goal, here's the snap. Stroud looking. Stroud throwing back in the end zone. Touchdown, Nico Collins. As Houston goes in front of Jacksonville.
Those two touchdowns with Mark Vandermeer on Texans radio, Stephon Diggs takes a handoff, and I think he was supposed to throw it. You know, he did that some in both his Vikings and his Bills tenure, but instead he keeps it. He kind of snakes his way through these final 6 yards into the end zone for a rushing TD, and then after another drive, C.J. Stroud finds Nico Collins, and they take the lead 14-10. Before they get to the break. And Nico Collins with a huge game. A dozen catches, 151 yards, and that score. And he talks about how CJ has gotten better at extending plays and that it's up to him and the other receivers to move with him, to kind of go where their quarterback needs them to be.
You really don't know where she's looking. You know, you're just trying to find an open void. And but Seven, man, he's special. You know, he's the type of guy that's going to extend the play. Always looking downfield, so I feel like the play is never over. So also always got to find that void and the hole, man. And Seven, he's going to find you. You know, so that's what we've been doing.
I love to see these two guys grow up together in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence sparks Jacksonville with a third quarter scoring drive, and he takes a deep shot. We haven't seen him get super accurate on these types of throws so far this season. In fact, he was missing on more of them Sunday, but he did connect with Thomas for 32 yards and Travis Etienne with a bunch of carries in there as well. Ultimately, finally able to find Pater in the second half.
Jags are 2 out of 7 on third down. Third down and 4 from the 8-yard line. Dropping is Trevor. Looking, fires right side. The ball's caught by Christian Kirk near the pylon. Touchdown! Trevor Lawrence to Christian Kirk for the score. And the Jags have taken the lead.
That's Frank Frangi on Jaguars radio. This one went down to the wire. That Christian Kirk score put the Jags in front by a field goal. And even though Houston had very little offense in the second half, late in the fourth quarter, they get the ball back and they're on the march. And once again, as CJ Stroud is scrambling, moving around, extending the play, he finds Nico Collins for 26 yards. And without Joe Mixon, they have to turn to an unlikely source for a score.
Second and goal. Diggs to the right side.
You gotta have British Brooks unit ready.
Offset eye, CJ rolls out to the right, throws to the end zone, hits Dory, and the Texans score. They lead. CJ Stroud to Dory Ogunbowale, who's had a huge game, puts the Texans on top.
This is the next man up league, right? It's so critical because every team is going to deal with injuries. And for the Texans, they'd had a beleaguered Cam Akers. He's already dealing with injuries. No Joe Mixon in this one. CJ Stroud is a couple of plays where he's able to scramble and pick up yards. But for the most part, they're looking for other guys to step up. And they do get over 100 yards rushing. But Dare Ogunbowale ends up catching that go-ahead score with 18 seconds left. Mark Vandermeer on the Texans radio network. So yeah, that game-winning drive, Stroud locked in. And you could just see the shades of what we got from him in his rookie year.
I definitely think that last drive, we just did a good job of staying in front of the sticks, taking what I seen and, you know, running when I needed to and whatnot. So, I think that was, we were just locked in. Defense gave us another shot, and that's all we needed, man. So, you know, just like they got our back, we got theirs.
The goal for us every week is to win. There's no such thing as an ugly win to me. Like, you finish with the win because, as we know, in this league, wins are hard to come by. It doesn't matter who you play. So, man, I'm just proud to get a win. And it doesn't matter to me how we win them. Just finish with the win.
So Stroud gets 345 yards and a couple of touchdowns. We talked about Nico Collins and his huge performance. You hear D'Amico Ryans. It doesn't care what it looks like. The goal is to win. Meanwhile, the Jaguars waste 158 yards rushing, and they're unable to hold off the Texans in the end, which is definitely demoralizing when they're still in search of their first W.
As coaches, we can't go out there and make the plays, right? It's a two-way street. So, you know, you guys can sit here and point the finger all you want, and that's fine. Point it right at me. I can take it, okay? I can take it. So whatever you want to ask me, say, whatever, write, go ahead.
He was asked a lot of questions specifically about play calling and about whether or not he would give up play calling duties. Right now, the last two teams that have no wins, as in goose eggs, are residing in the AFC South. And the Titans can get their first one on Monday night because they are on the road against the Dolphins. We'll be catching Miami without Tua, of course, but we'll be catching Miami with a quarterback who's just starting for the first time, and he hasn't been with them for very long. Tyler Huntley was signed off the Ravens practice squad, and so that's an opportunity for the Titans. Meanwhile, the Jaguars, they have lost all four games to start this season. Remember, they tanked at the end of last season, and so here they are, unable to get a win just for a change, just for a change of momentum, for a change in emotion in their locker room. We know they've been pretty frustrated by how they've started out, and this one got away from them even after they were up on the road a couple of different times at the Texans. So the AFC South, maybe not starting out quite the way that I expected, though the Texans have risen to the top of the division. They're 3-1. The Colts are in second place. And guess who's back? I'll explain coming up next. 855-212-4227. In the wake of week 4 NFL Sunday, we're asking you the wacky and the weird, what you've seen in this first month, nearly a full month completed. I could go on and on about wacky and weird, but I'd love to hear from you. I'll get a post up on our Facebook page as well. Soon we'll have your chance to vote for Monday MVP because it's all happening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The line of scrimmage. Richardson goes out of the gun. Gives it to Taylor. Taylor pushing that pile forward. Crossing the goal line. Give it to him. Yes, sir. Touchdown. INDY. On the opening drive of the game, the Colts march down the field. They go 70 yards and they put up 6.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jonathan Taylor has been a force early in the season for the Indianapolis Colts. exactly what they needed, especially when they lose their young quarterback early in this game. Are you kidding? On the road, the Steelers at Indianapolis, and the Steelers were 3-0 to start this week, taking that record into the heart of Indy. And early on, Anthony Richardson is able to hand off to Jonathan Taylor, but he does not survive a couple of big hits in the first quarter, one to his hip, another to his head. And the span of four plays, he is knocked out of the game only to see Joe Flacco ride again. I know there are a lot of Browns fans who wanted Joe as the backup to Deshaun Watson after last season. Remember, he jumped in when Deshaun was injured and had the issue with the shoulder and was not able to play the rest of the year. And it was Joe Flacco who was able to steady that offense, earning comeback player of the year honors and sparking the Browns to the playoffs, despite the fact that they'd lost their quarterback and their top running back. But he didn't get retained by the Browns. And I don't know why, other than speculation of maybe people in Cleveland would have wanted Joe Flacco if Deshaun Watson didn't come out and play well to start the season. You would have had Browns fans clamoring for Joe based on what he'd done in 23. But I'm just speculating. Instead, Joe gets picked up by the Colts, who, remember, only had their rookie QB, Anthony Richardson, for a few games last season before he was shut down with a shoulder injury. And yeah, the fact that he's constantly putting himself in harm's way, he doesn't like to slide. He doesn't know how to slide. He takes hits, and they've cost him, and they've cost the Colts. So once he gets knocked out, Joe Flacco is in, and I heard him say after the game that he's not a guy who's going to freak out over details, freak out being my paraphrasing. He's not going to nitpick over details. He's going to use his experience. He's going to use his field vision, and he's going to do what comes naturally, not trying to force it. Just go out there and play football.
Shotgun snap for the quarterback, looking to throw. Throws right, caught at the goal line, and then scooting in is Josh Downs. Two drives, two touchdowns for the Colts. Josh Downs, touchdown, INDY from 4 yards out, and the Colts lead it 13-0. Sermon's the back left. Flacco out of the gun. Three receivers bunched to the left. Now angling out wide left is Mitchell. Flacco backs to throw. Has good protection. Over in the middle, wide open for the Colts at the five, and they dive into the end zone. Touchdown, Drew Ogletree. Touchdown, INDY. Yes, sir. It's 23-10.
Joe Flacco.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Throws a pair of touchdown passes, has 168 yards in spelling A-Rod, and also led them on another scoring drive for a field goal. And so here are the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are very familiar with Joe Flacco. In fact, he said after the game, I heard him do an interview in which he talked about how Ben Roethlisberger was in the stadium. He was also there. And he had a chance to catch up with Ben. And he said, of course, Mike Tomlin's been there forever. 11 years Flacco spent with the Ravens. So this was all too familiar to Tomlin and some of the other guys who remember facing Flacco. Now, finally, Pittsburgh is able to get on the board late in the third quarter. It was really a tough first half for the Steelers. They had a fumble by George Pickens and were only able to come away with a field goal before the break. But Pickens redeems himself. He hauls in a deep throw by Justin Fields, and Justin able to punch the ball into the end zone.
Her second and goal from the two. Fields, play action pass, rolling out to his left. Fields has room. Fields tumbles into the end zone, lowers his shoulder, crashing through Jones, and gets in for the score.
Yeah, you could see, again, flashes of Justin Fields and why they like his athleticism, why they appreciate the versatility, feeling like they can use multiple looks on offense because of his skill set. He has been accurate at times. He's looked solid. He's looked fluid at times, but the offense kind of a mess, and you got to credit the Colts defense for most of that. Jonathan Taylor, also really an asset for the Colts. So between Joe Flacco, Jonathan Taylor, and some of their weapons and the defense, they were able to stay ahead of the Steelers the whole time. But it was dramatic at the end. Under 4 minutes to go, Justin finds Pat Freiermuth for an 8-yard touchdown catch and brings the Steelers within three. So then Pittsburgh, with one more opportunity, even getting fairly close enough to take a shot.
Fields backs the pass, plants, still has time, rolls up in the pocket, throws downfield. It's incomplete.
Over.
Almost picked off by the Colts, but it's an incomplete pass intended downfield for Van Jefferson, and the Colts defense comes up enormous in the fourth quarter with under a minute to go. It's a turnover on downs, and the Colts are going to win in week four.
They move to 2-2. Matt Taylor with the calls on Colts radio. Steelers calls also in there. And yeah, they run out of time, and the Steelers have no one to blame but themselves. They put themselves in a hole. Even though they go 3-for-4 in the red zone and they were able to put 24 points on the board, they have a couple of turnovers that stunt their ability to win this game in Indianapolis. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Mike Tomlin did not call a timeout on that final drive. Instead, he wanted to see how it would play out.
You know, I just wanted to hold it in my hip pocket. You know, sometimes working at a pace is an advantage for an offense. It doesn't give the defense an opportunity to get specialized people in the game, to ponder calls and get imperfect calls. And, you know, I was comfortable working at pace, and I just wanted to keep it in our hip pocket in case we converted and got down the field.
First and foremost, I think, you know, you can tip your caps to the other team, but I think at the end of the day, we beat ourselves. You know, we had, you know, 2 fumbles, one by me and then other by GP. Those are, if we don't score a touchdown, those are 6 points right there. We don't even find ourselves in that position. But, yeah, I do like how the, you know, offense fought back.
Yeah, they were able to rally, and it's not like they didn't find their way through. It's just real spotty in terms of the offense at times, and the turnovers hurt them a bunch. So the Steelers fall from the ranks of the undefeated. Meanwhile, the Colts go to 2-2, and Joe Flacco, he had to settle in quickly.
It was different. You know, it definitely took a little bit of time for me to kind of just like settle down, and, you know, that's kind of what I kept telling myself, just, you know, just do the simple things. And it's definitely a different experience when you come in, you know, when you come in like that. So
just going to end with a so. Flacco, yeah, he said it was just pretty cool to be able to get out there again and play football, right? And we know that that's the case from last year because he was so grateful to be able to get out there and have another opportunity. And maybe the Colts expected that at some point he might get forced into duty. I'm sure they were hoping it would not be the case this early or maybe at all. But man, what I tweeted is really how I feel about Joe. He rides again. Joe Flacco rides again. And at 39 years old, he may not get the same attention as Aaron Rodgers, who is now into his early 40s. Of course, they're both Super Bowl winners. And Flacco had a $100 million contract in his day with the Ravens. He was the number one reason why they were so steady for so long when he first got there. And now look at him, a resurgent second chapter, maybe third chapter of his career. He's now thrown touchdown passes for 4 different franchises. I think this story is terrific. And I see Donna on our social media also pointing to Joe Flacco. We're asking you the wacky and the weird from the first month of the NFL season. That Flacco is back, came in a game and saved the day. I didn't even know he was with a team this year. I bet you aren't the only one. Flacco rides again. It's terrific. As for the injury, it's deemed a hip injury for Anthony Richardson. Doesn't sound like he was in concussion protocol for very long, though I think they did check him out. The issue with him is that he's got to learn to protect himself. He does not do that well. He's big. He's bulky. He's burly. He can run guys over. But that's not what you want from your quarterback. He needs to protect himself to protect his body, or he's not going to be in the NFL for very long. Joe Flacco's not a rusher, obvi. He's more along the Peyton Manning school with cinder blocks for feet. But he's lasted this long because he knows how to protect himself, knows how to get rid of the football. Is it putting himself in harm's way? And that's one of the keys to longevity as a quarterback in the NFL. Looking at the AFC South, Texans 3-1, Colts 2-2. Neither the Titans nor the Jaguars have a win yet. All right, coming up, we're going to get to the Niners and the Rams, who played each other last week in a game that went down to the wire. Remember the Rams showing all kinds of heart, missing a bunch of pieces, able to rally past the Niners and stun San Francisco. Niners trying to get back to their winning ways, hosting the Patriots on Sunday, week 4. At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page too, still rumbling our way through this first show of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network, Sports Flash.
We begin with Sunday Night Football in Baltimore.
Andrews in motion from left to right. Jackson takes the snap, holds it out for Hill. Jackson keeps running around the right side, across the five. Lamar down to the end zone, and he's in. Touchdown, Ravens. A 9-yard touchdown run for Lamar Jackson. And the Ravens lead grows to 27-10 late in the third quarter.
Ryan Ratke on Westwood 1. The Ravens beat the Bills 35-10. Lamar Jackson, two touchdown passes and the touchdown run. Derrick Henry rushing 24 times for 199 yards. And a touchdown. Elsewhere, the Chiefs over the Chargers 17-10, Raiders 20, Browns 16, the Bucks over the Eagles 33-16, Commanders 42, Cardinals 14, Niners over the Patriots 30-13, Broncos 10, Jets 9, the Colts get by the Steelers 27-24, Texans 24, Jaguars 20, Bengals beat the Panthers 34-24, Bears 24, Rams 18, the Vikings over the Packers 31-29, the Falcons topped the Saints 26-24. Now to baseball and National League wild card race. Diamondbacks over the Padres 11-2. Mets beat the Brewers 5-0. The Royals double up the Braves 4-2. What does it all mean? The Mets and Braves play a doubleheader Monday afternoon in Atlanta starting at 1:10 Eastern Time. Each team needs one win to clinch a playoff spot. The Diamondbacks, meanwhile, will need either the Mets or the Braves to sweep that doubleheader for Arizona to get a playoff spot. Other baseball news. The Marlins announcing manager Skip Schumacher will not return next season, but the Twins announced that manager Rocco Baldelli will return as the skipper next season. WNBA playoff scoreboard. The Liberty beat the Aces 87-77, while the Sun topped the Lynx 73-70. Alabama, Texas, Ohio State, Tennessee, Georgia, your top five in the latest AP college football poll. Oregon, Penn State, Miami, Missouri, Michigan round out the top 10. Golf, United States winning the President's Cup for the 10th consecutive time. I'm Peter Schwartz.
The setback steps up. Here comes Floyd, throw over the middle. Intercepted by Fred Warner. Fred gets up and runs back the other way. 30, 20, one block and he's in. 10, 5, pushed out, dives for the end zone. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Oh, that was awesome. I mean, I thought the defense was awesome all day. Anytime you score, even better. But, you know, to start out the way they did, the first couple drives especially, scoring, Fred getting the score, the two turnovers they created, I didn't get a look at all the stats, but I think they were really good on third down. Defense felt like dominated all day.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Isn't that the truth? Kyle Shanahan about his defense dominating. Fred Warner really the centerpiece of a defensive performance against the Patriots with a leaping interception over the middle off Jacoby Brissett. And he gets up and rumbles 45 yards for the score. And so the early turnovers by New England, a pair of them, lead to 10 San Francisco points as the Niners were trying to get back on track. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This was a good one for both sides of the ball. The Niners getting over 430 yards of offense as well. And late in the second quarter, an 80-yard march orchestrated by Brock Purdy. Now, San Francisco twice had touchdowns called back on this drive because of penalty flags. But if at first you don't succeed,
Ayuk tight right, then they go Kittle, Jennings, Debo from inside to out left. Rock back and a throw for the end zone for Kittle. Lob ball. George went up and caught the ball. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Kittle in the corner, baby!
Felt fantastic. I'm just wasn't really confident in the play call, because that was something we had called originally from like way farther out. And when he called it from the 10, I had to double check with Brock to make sure it was the right play. And I was like, all right, man, just throw it. And he just threw it. So it was pretty fun.
A leaping grab straight up in the air over a couple of defenders fighting the Patriots defense for what was a 12-yard score. And I love how he says, I wasn't real confident in the play call, but he threw it and I went up to get it. the calls there on the Niners radio network with Greg Papa as the play-by-play. Now, after San Francisco fumbles the second half kick, see what I mean? It was muffed punts. It was fumbled kickoff returns. There's a short field for New England, so the Patriots are able to get an Austin Hooper touchdown catch. But Brock Purdy, with the weapons around him, including Deebo Samuel, who is back for this game, he goes deep the very next opportunity. He finds Deebo for 53 yards. And once again, even though Christian McCaffrey is a special talent and he is going to help any team with his versatility and his ability to gain yards on both the ground and through the air, Jordan Mason is doing a terrific job filling in.
First and goal, 4-yard line. Mason alone back. Purdy going to give him a handoff off the left side. Touchdown! San Francisco!
People scheme us up, and they do a good job with just leverage and taking away certain routes. And so for us, that's a good opportunity for us to be able to adapt and work on different things as well. So every team is different. They present a new challenge and stuff.
Brock Purdy is one of those guys who takes everything in stride. You'll see him get fired up now and then, but for the most part, he just wants to use the guys that are around him. And one thing that we've seen him doing a lot more is running. And Kyle Shanahan noted that he is taking the ball and running a bunch more. I actually heard the announcers compare him to CJ Stroud a little bit in terms of his ability to make plays on the ground or to even call his own number for a run play.
I mean, I think he started doing it more last year. He's done it a lot this year. It's something he did in college a lot. I think Brock has just got the confidence on when to hang in there and try to make the play work and when to break and buy time and try to make a play, getting people open later off schedule or trying to move out with his legs. And he's done a hell of a job of that these last 2 weeks.
So Purdy is able to lead the Niners back to a win in this one. But the defense deserves a ton of credit. 6 sacks of Jacoby Brissett, 3 takeaways, and holding Ramondre Stevenson to just 43 rushing yards. So the questions are persisting for Jerod Mayo. Is it time to consider Drake May the rookie as opposed to Jacoby Brissett? We know what he is. He can make plays, but he's always been limited. He has a ceiling that's very visible. What about throwing Drake May out there?
Hey, look, at this point, Jacoby is our starting quarterback. I haven't watched any film or anything like that. He's been a great leader. He just broke the huddle down after I talked to the guys. And, you know, we got to watch the film. We have a long flight to go back and watch the film, and we're always evaluating every single position.
I don't think it's the right idea to put Drake May out there yet still because of the offensive line, the constant transition, and the turnover on the offensive line. It feels like you'd be putting your rookie in a position where he's likely to fail. This is what the Patriots knew would happen for the most part. They're going to fight. They're going to do their best defensively. They're going to stay in games, but they're limited. They don't have a lot of weapons other than Ramondre Stevenson around Jacoby. So Purdy is just under 300 yards. He has a touchdown. He has a pick. Debo's back with 72 total yards. And I really liked how the Niners used the entire field. And of course, how the defense was flexing its muscles. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, also in the NFC West, we'll get to Cardinals and Commanders at the top of the hour. That one deserves a little more time. Why? Well, because it was Cliff Kingsbury's return to the desert. But for the Rams and the Bears, I was interested to see whether or not LA could pull a rabbit out of its hat again, taking on Chicago, who has a tough defense. This one on the road in the Windy City. And Chicago was able to grab control in the second quarter of this one, in large part because Matthew Stafford has a sack and a fumble, because there's a missed Rams field goal. There just wasn't a lot of margin for error in this one. The Bears able to take advantage of the mistakes by LA.
Snap to Caleb Williams. In the pocket, scanning, throwing, back of the end zone, touchdown. Feet down, back of the end zone, DJ Moore, touchdown, touchdown Bears on Christian Roseboom, one-on-one in a very tight space, running out of real estate, he grabs it, 13, great job, touchdown Bears in a 16-9 lead, snap. Dancing inside. Over a man. Swift for the burst to the 25-20. He's going, baby. 10-5. End zone. Touchdown. Bears. Bears. 36-yard jaunt by DeAndre Swift.
Jeff Joniak with the call on the Bears radio network. So as they're able to take advantage of those Rams miscues, they take the lead before half and don't relinquish it again. Those two touchdowns coming on drives led by Caleb Williams. So he finds DJ Moore for a 9-yard pass and also sees DeAndre Swift take it to the house 36 yards. And actually for DeAndre, huge game, 165 yards total. The D is able to protect late in the game. They force a 3-and-out by the Rams and also pick off Matthew Stafford. And a lot of missed opportunities for Sean McVay's club.
Really, throughout the course of the game, moved the ball, did a really poor job of finishing drives. You know, for us to have four drives in the first half, settle for three field goal attempts, and then obviously the one play drive that resulted in a turnover, that was a killer.
Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford, really the forces, the veteran forces, they're going to lead that team. They've lost so many guys, and they don't have Cooper Kupp. They don't have Puka Nacua. Kyren Williams did have another rushing touchdown, but they need even more so Matthew to take the lead. And as for them not having that margin of error, it's because of all the injuries and, of course, because Aaron Donald has retired. So the two turnovers doom the Rams early. They fall to 1-3. Meanwhile, the Bears go to 2-2, and Caleb Williams is able to show flashes. Love a couple of his touchdown, well, a couple of his throws on the move, including the touchdown that he throws to DJ Moore. And maybe, just maybe, it's starting to fall into place.
The detail work that we put throughout the week, the leadership, you know, the leaders leading, things like that throughout the week, understanding, you know, how big it is to, you know, come out, you know, with a win this week and get that, you know, momentum going again.
And no doubt, especially in the NFC North, where it's going to be really tough. We know this now with the Vikings at 4-0, and also the Lions having a chance to move to 3-1 on Monday night. And there's been a lot of criticism of Caleb, of course, because he's the number one overall pick. He goes 17 of 23, an efficient game with a touchdown, and he thinks, for him even, it's starting to work itself out.
My last game was November 18th before the season. I think just getting more in the flow of football, the rhythm throughout the season, the rhythm of the week, just getting more comfortable and being more consistent with myself.
Yeah, they get 130 yards rushing, which is huge for any young quarterback, really any quarterback. But Caleb points out that he had last played November 18th of 2023. USC was done at that point. He was done at that point. And so he did not play again until this month in a game that mattered. So a huge thing for him to settle in and find that rhythm. And they're able to do that. And of course, we've seen the defense and the special teams of Chicago help them protect their two wins. And so, yeah, they move to 2-2, now tied with the Green Bay Packers in the NFC North. That's 2 hours down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.